everyone, and welcome to our lockdown devotions. As you can see, our location is the youth hall. And behind me are the names of everyone who has been in this room, either in our Bible studies or in our youth ministry. And I miss everyone on this board so dearly. And I can't wait till we see each other again and enjoy that sweet, sweet fellowship one with another. But till then, I hope that you're encouraged by these devotions, by our Bible studies on Wednesday, as well by the service that we have every Sunday morning from 9. Today we find ourselves in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 to 16. And the idea I want us to look at is the idea of the real man of God. You see, the term man of God is a term that is used loosely in our community today, as there are men and women who have been called men of God and are revered as men of God. But as you read through this passage, you'll notice that they miss the mark by far as to what God actually considers as true men and women of God. You notice in verse 11, the Apostle Paul calls Timothy, "As for you, man of God," then he goes on to list some things that need to be present in the life of a man or a woman of God. So the first thing he says, as for you, O man of God, flee these things. So what are these things? If you read earlier in chapter 6, he talks about the love of money. So the first thing that a man of God needs to flee is the love of money. The man of God needs to flee materialism. The man of God needs to flee from worldliness, which is the devil's secret weapon that he uses to entice us back to the desires of our flesh. He uses it to desensitize us to the things that God considers sinful, to the things that God loathes. And he tempts us to go and to enjoy these things as our flesh enjoys the things of this world. He also says that the real man of God must flee from false doctrines and from false teachings. You see, one thing we have to know is that if a man or a woman loves the things of this world, then he cannot love the Father. We see this in 1 John, that a person who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, a question that came to my mind as I thought about the pandemic, as I was going through this study, was I more concerned about our economy that is crashing during the pandemic? Or was I concerned about the hundreds of thousands of people who could die or who have died from COVID-19 without knowing the Lord? Was I concerned that there are people who could contract this virus, who could die? There are people who could probably even die of hunger without knowing the Lord. Was that one of my concerns? You see, a real man of God, that is going to be high on his concern list. For in the second thing we notice is that he says, a real man of God pursues God. How? He lists for us that by pursuing righteousness, by pursuing godliness, pursuing faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness, not only does a man of God pursue the things of God, but a man of God also fights for God. He fights for the things of God, for the cause of Christ. He fights the good fight of our faith. Remember in chapter 2, verse 4, when the Apostle Paul challenged Timothy to say that as a good soldier, do not get entangled with civilian pursuits. Because if you find yourself entangled by civilian pursuits, you become a part-time serving Christian. Whereas God has called us to a life of devotion. So we are called to hate the world and to pursue after Christ. We are to lay hold of eternal life, as it says in this passage, to which we have been called. But then there's that great encouragement that he gives us in this passage, that the man of God fights in the sight of God. You see, I want you guys to be encouraged, as I was encouraged to know that as I'm fighting the good fights of the faith, I have Christ in my corner. I have Christ fighting with me. I have Christ fighting for me as I pursue the good confession. I am pursuing it with Christ by my side. So who is this Christ? In verse 13, we are told he is the creator who gives life to all things. In verse 13, again, we see that he is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God who made the good confession before Pilate. that he expects us to make in the presence of many. You can find that confession in John chapter 19, verse 11, where Jesus Christ says that my death was by my own submission, by the will of my Father. I gave my life that many may be saved. In verse 15, we see that this Christ, he is the blessed and only sovereign one. He is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. We also see in verse 16, oh, that he only is immortal and glorified. He dwells in inapproachable light where no man has seen. This is the Christ whom we are holding the good confession, knowing that he is by our side. We're doing it with him as our witness. So then what's the application from this passage? I find our application in verse 14. He says, to keep the commandment unstained, free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the challenge is knowing what we know, knowing that what the man of God should look like, that he should flee from worldliness and from the love of money, flee from false teachings, fighting the good fight of the faith. He is to make good confession by keeping the commandments unstained and free from reproach. So to conclude, a true man of God looks more like Christ than he does look like the world. The question today is, can you consider yourself, can I consider myself as a true man of God who fights for the cause of Christ? I trust that you are blessed.